shout out to Netflix. That song gets me so hype. It's another edition of Draped in Gold, daddy. As for a breakdown, NXT, somehow, some way, we haven't really gotten a war since our one reward about 2 years ago. So we got to get back on track. It's your boy, Global Boys. And even though I'm here in the booth, as always, I'm not alone. I'm being joined by the guy who is the best dang friend on the planet, the real Jack Farmer. What's up, man?
You had a couple truths and a lie in there somewhere, but I will say, one, that beat, we need a Patreon just to show us bobbing our heads to the beat while we're waiting for the countdown to finish, because I'm always like, dun,
dun, dun. Yeah, it's hot, man. Like, yeah, let's go.
Yeah, but us, we're like the Susan Lucci of podcasts. Why aren't we getting our awards? Why are we only getting the one? We're like the best thing going. Come on.
That's what I'm talking about. If you're watching, listening live on your favorite podcast device, 5 stars gets you a little bit closer to that award. And congratulations to those watching on Facebook, on LinkedIn, on X, on Twitch, on Trovo, and on YouTube. You guys make this pretty fun. Shout out to Mike Webster as well, already in the chat.
Can we just say, I know it's a transitional period, Flobo, but you don't need to write Twitter/X whenever you're referring to that social media platform. We'll understand either or. You don't need to say both, you know?
Right, right. So do you say X or your team Twitter?
Well,
do you like the old gimmick or the new gimmick? Which one do you
like? I'm trying to move on to X, but old habits die hard. So I say Twitter, but I'm trying to move on. Much like with Brian Danielson, Daniel Bryan to Brian Danielson. It's tricky, but I always say you got to call it by what it wants to be called. It's X now, but I'll admit I make the mistake and say Twitter on accident, but you don't need to say X/Twitter, Twitter/X. We get it. Same
fair, thing. Fair enough. But shout out to old gimmicks because Priscilla Kelly was in the building. Our main event was a fatal four-way for Tiffany Stratus NXT Women's Championship with Roxanne Perez, who says, I'm not a prodigy. I'm taking it now. Against Kiana James, who eventually won the matchup. Of course, EJ Dillon and Blair Davenport was in the mix as well. And well, the NXT universe, the CWC, did we still call it that, was surprised with Kiana James getting the dub there, Jack Farmer, but was it the right call for her to do it? Did she really find a way, or somebody robbed here?
You know, this, she wasn't my pick to see who I thought was going to win going into it, especially
it should have been, because I'm right.
You're right, it should have been, but it was because especially listening to them talk before the match, I thought Perez had a killer instinct that I hadn't seen from her before, so I was excited to see her. I thought Gigi Dolan also, talking about how she embraces chaos, she's right. This is right up her alley. But Kiana James, it makes sense. I mean, she's a business leader. She understands how to turn chaos and a mess and turn it into something that's going to be profitable for her. She looks at this and just says, it's simple supply and demand. If you're going to supply me with a title shot, I'm going to demand it. And she did, and she got it.
Interesting, because no one was talking about Kiana James except for this guy. Allow me to be right, because Kiana James is the future, but now she's number one contender. And well, even though Tiffany Stratton isn't my favorite competitor, she does have a certain attitude that's very similar to Tiffany Stratton. These two dance partners really get it done the next matchup.
These two are they're gonna have a great matchup. You're right. They're both people who are affluent. They have money. They understand what it's like to have nice things. And both of them know they'll do whatever it takes to get those nice things. And right now, the nice thing we're talking about is that NXT championship. When I'm torn, I think this is going to be a very divisive match. I think there's going to be a very torn audience on who they want to see win. When I'm torn and I can't decide, I go with what I call the champion's advantage. And that means I back the champ. I'm going with Tiffany Stratton.
I think you were back Tiffany Stratton, no matter the reason, if she was a challenger or anything. But another takeaway with this one is that Roxanne Perez and Blair Davenport seem to have a little bit of residual blood in their bad blood feud about a month ago. Would you want to see them run it back, or these two ladies should go their separate ways?
They're both incredible competitors, so I think I'd be happy to see them go at it again. I do like fresh matchups. I do like new things, so it'd be interesting to see them mix it up with different people. But I think, like I always say, I think Davenport is someone who is born to be a champion. She should perennially be in the title picture, so I don't like the idea of her going somewhere else. But I think that her and Perez would have a great matchup. I think it'd be fun as a viewer to watch it. but I like new. I want something different. Let him fight someone else.
Shout out to friends of the show, Cedric Wilson, who says Tiffy Thomas forever, because yep. One, he knows how much it gets under my skin. And two, one of his favorite competitors, Lola Vice, was featured heavily in this episode. We'll get to that in quite a minute. And the Pop Princess, thanks for rolling in the chat. Of course, alongside the legend himself, Mike Wexler. I like Blair Davenport as an antagonist. I like Roxanne Perez and this I'm no longer the prodigy thing. I don't want to see this happen again. It seemed pretty clear to me that Blair Davenport got beat down. I think she should lick her wounds elsewhere. But that's me personally.
Well, there was a lot of shenanigans that were in Blair Davenport and Roxanne Perez situation. So there's definitely unfinished business there. And Blair Davenport definitely had some things go against her that shouldn't have. But again, I'd like to see them move on. I think Davenport should be the next contender, just baked right in. Whoever wins between Kiana James and Tiffany Stratton should face Blair Davenport. And I think that I would rather see someone like a Roxanne Perez have a match with maybe a legend, maybe someone like a Dana Brooke, maybe someone who, if she's going to call herself a prodigy, let's test her against someone who's been around for a little bit. That's what I would like to see.
I don't usually go to the questions real quick, but I think Cedric hit the nail on something that was actually in my notes. It says Davenport could be interesting in Judgment Day or a faction with Alba and Isla Dawn. And that was my question, is where are Alba Fire and Isla Dawn? Once they unify the titles, they disappear.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Especially I look at Alba Fire, who was the forever champion at one point. It's very disappointing to see she's off TV, as well as Isla Dawn, who I think is about as spooky as you can get. So I don't know why they aren't on TV. I don't know why we're not seeing them more often. It's unfortunate, but I think that that's one of the problems of only having one set of tag team titles in a very stacked women's division.
Dana Brooke is a legend. Mike Wexler, I disagree with you wholeheartedly, and we got ourselves a Wolfpack reference. I love that. Well, the main thread of the show this week was an announcement of the Global Heritage Cup Invitational. I try to write all these notes down super fast. I'm glad I got them down. I had to pause a couple times, but if Excalibur was writing this down, I would have missed everything. So it's going to be a round robin tournament, very similar to the interim Cruiserweight Championship tournament we had over the pandemic time, which El Hijo de Fantasma, Santos Escobar actually ended up winning. Two groups. In Group A, Butch, Charlie Dempsey, Tyler Bate, and Axiom representing the United Kingdom, the United States, United Kingdom, and Spain, respectively, which is funny because I didn't think Axiom had a nationality. And then Group B is Nathan Frazier, Joe Coffey, Kira Tozawa, and Duke Hudson representing Jersey, Scotland, Japan, and Australia, respectively. Round robin tournament, the finals have a match, and the winner becomes number one contender for Noam Dar's Heritage Cup Championship, which is a mouthful to say. Surprising it wasn't Heritage Cup rules, but before we get into the matches this week, Jack Farmer, questions and thoughts. Noam Dar's on top of the mountaintop looking for an opponent. He gets a free ride ticket to No Mercy. Thoughts about that, and thoughts about the idea of this tournament.
The thoughts on Noam Dar getting a free ticket to Bakersfield? Where's it going to be?
No, it's California. They were very smart. I'd say Bakersfield. They're going to California.
They go to the bright lights of California. Right. Look, how do I feel about Noam Dar getting a free ticket? He should get a free ticket. He's the champion. He doesn't have to get his hands dirty. He already did all the hard work proving that he's been the champion nonstop since the NXT UK days. So I think that Noam Dar getting a free ticket is not only something that should be expected, it's been something that's been earned. As far as the tournament goes, I love this tournament. I love round robins. I love the fact that we're going to get a ton of matches that all have really big stakes with people who we may never get to see have matches in other scenarios. So this is a win-win. I'm very upset that it's not Heritage Cup rules, though. It should be Heritage Cup rules. And I say, let's make it even more interesting. Let's make it Heritage Cup rules where the falls that happen within the matches all have point system values. So if you get one win but lose the overall match, you could still get points. You know what I mean? I think that would be very interesting. But
wow, big brain Jack over here.
That's a little too far. I don't think it's that confusing of a concept, the whole round robin rules. It's actually a very simple concept. I don't know why it's so confusing.
It's not confusing. Okay, it's not confusing unto itself. However, I do feel like and maybe I'm just being biased because we covered the show, but back when there was NXT UK, that the USA version of NXT hasn't really, they featured matches, but hasn't really hammered it home and its unique rules, especially with Vic and Booker trying to explain every time. And then you add in this wrinkle as well. It may be a bit too much too fast, but you're right. The rules itself into this tournament isn't so hard to comprehend.
Yeah, I definitely think if they're not doing the Heritage Cup rules, it's very simple. But again, I think that this is a match type you're trying to get the United States to understand. This is a great way to help them understand Americans. It. Well, you know, we're not always the first on the we're not always the first in line.
Actually, we are number one in how much we import cocaine. That's besides the point. Our first matchup on the
list. We're number one.
USA.
It's Charlie Dempsey representing the United States, who's not Patrick, against Butch representing the United Kingdom. This one here was surprising for a number of reasons. One, Butch even signing up for this tournament because he was never a Heritage Cup winner. But Butch getting the win over a very game Charlie Dempsey. Thoughts?
This was fantastic. Great matchup. Again, I'm bummed it wasn't Heritage Cup rules, but Butch with a huge win takes pole position in this thing. Butch understands Heritage Cup matches. I think if I am Noam Dar, I'm very worried about Butch in this situation because Butch is going to be one of the few people in this tournament that 100% understands the way the game is played in a Heritage Cup match. I think if someone like Akira Tozawa gets the win, maybe Noam Dar has the ability to use the rules to his advantage, if that makes sense.
Sure.
Butch, he's not going to have that kind of leg up on him. So Butch is someone who should be very, he should be very worried about.
Good thing it was Butch in name only. Remember NXT Europe was announced a year ago this month?
Yeah.
And we thought we were going to have matches like this. So I was all about that. But if you're Drew Gulak or Damon Kemp, is this first go-around disappointing for Charlie Dempsey? Or he gets a pass because he's not really in this kind of like tournament-style experience thing? I don't know.
I mean, yeah, this is going to be a tournament, I believe, that comes down to the very end, the nitty-gritty. So this is a huge setback, especially when you're someone as talented as Dempsey is. Dempsey doesn't take losses lightly. He's got a pedigree of winning, and he's built to be someone who is a Heritage Cup champion. Like, he's built that for that kind of championship. So this has got to be gut-wrenching for him. I think Dempsey went into this one. I think Damon Kemp and I think Drew Gulak all thought that they might have run the table here. Now they're playing catch-up. It's going to be very hard to come back from a loss.
Talking about losses on the other side of the bracket, it was Nathan Frazier on the losing end against the Iron King, Joe Coffey, which, again, another person I didn't think was going to be even in the tournament, found to have a dominating win. Now, we know Nathan Frazier, whether you like him or not, Jack Palmer is a former Heritage Cup winner. Legitimately, this could be a really bad roadblock for him.
Joe Coffey, maybe one of the biggest wins of the night at this event, I thought, because Nathan Frazier, now I know we've gone back and forth on the legitimacy of his claims to the Heritage Cup championship. However, again, like I said, with someone like Butch, Nathan Frazier understands Heritage Cup rules. He's been in that world for a long time. And so he has to be considered one of the favorites to get to the end of this tournament. So Joe Coffey being able to get a win over him at this juncture is huge for him. And again, now much like Butch, he is in pole position in his group and everyone else has to play catch up. This was a very, very big win for Joe Coffey. I think it was a big win in a lot of ways for Noam Dar. This was a big, big moment that we're probably not going to talk a lot about, but I think is a game changer in NXT.
Is Gallus back?
Yeah.
I walked right to that one. I hate it. this could be a start for them. I'm with you. I really feel like Gallus is something I complained about ad nauseum on the show, besides the fact of where Stevie Turner is. Hey, look, I want Gallus to be back the way it was in 2019 and 20. Hopefully Dubs get that. And if Iron King runs the board, that'd be kind of fun to watch. Now, when we look at the tournament, we look at the field, just by you personally, is there anyone here you would like to see win if you can, like, you know, predict the future?
I am possibly the world's biggest supporter of Akira Tozawa. I want Akira to do well. Akira is ready. That's what he said on Raw one time.
The power of Tozawa. I love it.
Yes, I'm a big Akira Tozawa fan. I want Akira Tozawa to make it to the end, and I want to see Noam Dar versus Akira Tozawa in the bright lights of Bakersfield, baby.
Yeah, you know what? I thought you would have picked Duke Hudson because you've been Duke Hudson guy from day one. 6'5", Brendan Vink. But Akira Tozawa is pretty cool. And shout out to Mac Wexler with the
Your pick?
Kyle O'Reilly. I'll get that in a second. I'll get there in a second. Shout out to Mike Wexler and the It's Not Butch, It's Peter Dune. Once I realized Pete Dunne, Butch in name only, was in the tournament, that's going to be my guy to win it. And I think one of the best and worst things about NXT UK, or to say the WWE/NXT UK championship, is that Walter/Gunther was so dominant with it. But people forget that Peter Dunne, the second ever champion after Tyler Bate, had the title for 685 days. And I think his reign, his legacy is kind of fading away through time, which is so weird to see because it wasn't 20 years ago. It was like 3 years ago or 4 years ago. So I would like to have Butch do more dubs. You know, I didn't like the fact he was called Butch. I was kind of disgruntled in the corner, like, meh, it's not gonna get over. And I got over. You know what I mean? So that's gonna be my pick. I'm gonna ride that to the bitter end till the wheels fall off.
It's such a sad thing as an NXT UK fan, because as we've said many times on the show, if you watch NXT, what you're really seeing is NXT UK at this point. And even on the main roster, they're starting to infiltrate the main roster. But you even look at Walter's great run as NXT UK champion. That's becoming overshadowed now by Gunther's Intercontinental Championship run. So there's so much stuff from NXT UK that works so well that now it's almost washing over what happened in NXT UK because it's being redone to the United States audiences. But man, that UK run was something special.
Absolutely. But this leads us to this week's general manager pick'em. That's right. Pretend Jack Farmer is the phantom GM of NXT. You can play along too. I ask him questions. He gives me his unabashed answers. Jack Farmer.
Yeah.
with the Heritage Global Heritage Invitational, there's some tournaments happening, but there's also tournaments we haven't seen in a while. So if you had a choice, would you bring back the Dusty Rhodes Classic or the Breakout Tournament?
That's a great question. I would bring back the Dusty Rhodes Classic.
Go on. It's a segment. Go on. And the reason why. Can you expound, brother?
Well, until we get a sponsor for this segment, I don't know if it should be...
And that's all the words you're going to get.
But, Dusty Rhodes Cup, I thought was it pays homage to a legend. And I think whenever you can do that, that's fun to do and that's good to do. And especially during a time we think about people who have passed in pro wrestling, I think when you can tip your hat to someone who's given so much to pro wrestling, I always think that's a good thing. And the Breakout Tournament is also fun. I mean, I'm splitting hairs here, but I'd rather see people I know who are stars go at it than people I don't know.
Yeah, but I mean, Breakout Tournament, B. Gattis, Carmelo Hayes, no?
Yeah, I mean, how many Breakout Tournaments have we had?
I believe two apiece.
So for the fellas, who were the winners?
Jordan Miles, we don't talk about him anymore. And so, Carmelo Hayes.
So that said, 50-50. I think I'm going to go with the Dusty Classic.
Fair enough. I can't get mad with that without reasoning. But let's talk about tag team matches player, this time in the women's division. Cedric Wilson's favorite competitor, Lola Vice, and Electra Lopez, they were a tag team because I like you, had a match against Dana Brooke and Kalani Jordan, and seems to be something to be a bit of a trend here. Jack Farmer, Kalani Jordan tries her hardest. She actually works most of the match, but Dana Brooke goes absolutely berserk. I know you're the biggest Dana Brooke supporter, but I may have to start agreeing with you. She's become unhinged.
Look, I support Dana Brooke. I want her to do well. I just call things as I see them. And I look at this group of Electra Lopez and Lola Vice, and a lot of us naysayed them. And we're like, this is just two people hanging out together just because they like each other. We're supposed to take them as a credible tag team. But week in and week out, they continue to prove that they have chemistry. They are good. They are getting wins, and they're not to be taken lightly. On the other side of things, I see Kalani Jordan and Dana Brooke And we're like, oh, they've got these things in common. One's been wrestling for a long time. One's an up-and-comer. This should be great. But week in and week out, they keep suffering the losses. And I think that this is the classic example of one team, maybe not what we expected, but doing great things, where the other team is one of those teams, and this is Dana Brooke and Kehlani Jordan, that might only be good on paper. And it might be time to start asking yourself, do we continue this?
That is the downside of potential. Now, if you guys have been following Draped in Gold, you notice something called the Frobito 3. If not, I just made it up right now. Three female competitors, which I am a big fan of, and that's Kiana James, Thea Hale, and Kalani Jordan. But I will give to the fact that she has taken a lot of L's. Now, I ask you this because we are all about that Phantom GM life, but what is Kalani Jordan's ceiling? Do you see her on the main roster? Do you see her holding the title? Or is one of those instances where you kind of go, yeah, that's fine for Friday nights, Tuesday nights, etc.?
I mean, she's got a good ceiling for sure. She's just getting started. So I think that she can definitely do big things. Me saying that this team isn't doing well isn't me condemning either of them.
Yes, it's just,
I'm looking at their records. And at some point, you got to go, you guys keep losing tag team matches. You keep losing singles matches. At some point, you got to say to yourself, we're not winning. It's time to move on. And sometimes when you look at other sports, you may have two great players, but if the chemistry's not there and it's not working, you got to trade one of them or make some changes so that everyone can be more successful. I like the idea of these two together. I think when they first came together, I thought this is awesome. But they're not getting the dubs, Flobo. At some point, you need the dubs. And if you're not getting the dubs, you need to rethink the plan.
Fair enough. Brooke is turning to Charlotte, says Cedric, which I guess that's more positive than negative, right? I'll turn to Charlotte.
Yeah. Yeah. I think anyone would be thrilled to be turning into Charlotte.
All hail the queen. Ding, 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 ding. Last question about this. Lola Vice, Electra Lopez, they've tagged for a while. We talked about their chemistry. But aren't you worried, and this is pretty much the tail end of our discussion last week, about people with too similar of a goal, right? Maybe you want some kind of complimentary action. I feel like both these ladies can pretty much beat you up and then go out shopping afterwards. Thoughts about that, having too much chemistry or being too similar to your teammate?
Regarding Dana Brooke and Kehlani Jordan?
Electra Lopez and Lola Vice.
Electra Lopez and Lola Vice. I see differences in them. I think that, again, they're a team that they're winning. They work together. They're complementary. Their pairing seemed random. And you're right. It was a little bit like, hey, you seem cool. Let's be a team. And it had every reason to fail, but it's working. And we've seen that happen in other situations before too, where you have two people who probably shouldn't be a team, but they decide to be. I think about like the Bar, right? Two guys who probably shouldn't have been a team became a team and were great.
That was a little different though.
A little different.
Because the I Like You came after a best of seven. It was like, I like you. Yeah, me too. Like it was like, we beat each other up for like 3 weeks.
fair. But it's the idea of it, right? It's the idea that sometimes a random pairing works, and this works. And we can try to get into the minutia of whether or not it's perfect, or we can just go, look, this is a team that's winning. Let's let them succeed, and hopefully they get a shot at those tag team titles.
Fair enough. I love the little theme song Ultra has. Elsewhere, talking about matches where people needed to win, it was Dijak against Eddie Thorpe. And, well, on Draped in Gold, we know we're Carmelo Hayes' show, but we both like Eddie Thorpe. We both like Carl Fredericks. And we really thought there might be a chance for him to get the doublings. I did. But Dijak cannot be denied. Needed this win. Got the win. What's next for both these men?
You know, I thought Eddie Thorpe came in with a great game plan. At this event, I thought he took advantage of attacking Dijak right away, got his offense in quickly. Of course, everything changed because Dijak was able to use that loaded right hand. But I'm not going to make excuses for Eddie Thorpe because Eddie Thorpe tried to use the weapon as well. So I think this is one of those things where it's a situation of, did Dijak cheat a little bit to get the win? Absolutely. But you know what? I think both Eddie Thorpe and Dijak were okay with the idea of one of them cheating to get the win. So I just got to hand this one to Dijak. Dijak gets the win. Good on him. I'm a big Eddie Thorpe fan. But this at this event, the night was Dijak's.
Hold on. Someone cheated to win and you actually called it out? Usher, like, he didn't cheat. He had the dog in him. He didn't cheat. He just wanted it more. And I'm like, well, that deck cheated. Loaded fist. What? Why you changed, man?
I always just call it right down the middle.
You never call it right down the middle.
Bill Alfonso, baby, right down the middle. That's what happened. They both tried to cheat. Only one of them successfully made it happen. So I can't blame either of them. And I think that, look, Eddie Thorpe tried his best as well. So I can't get mad at Dijak for doing what Eddie Thorpe was trying to do. Dijak just did it better. This was Dijak's win.
Got me so mad I blew out my microphone. Even though No Mercy is about a month away, would you want to see one more between these two men just to make sure that we have something clean? Or you're like, you know what? Dijak got the dub. He finally got a dub. Headed for the hills.
These guys, I think, want more. I think they want to get more violent. I think they want to do more damage to each other. I'd love to see him run it back. I'd love to see him just bring in the weapons. I'd love some kind of no holds bar, no DQ kind of situation. And I think that happening, I think in the bright lights of Bakersfield is the right place to do it. That said, I worry about Eddie Thorpe because I think that plays right into Dijak's hand. So if I'm Eddie Thorpe, I don't know if I'd be excited about that. But as a fan, yeah, let's do it. Let's bring in the weapons. Let's bring in the skewers. Let's bring in the...
No. because Eddie Thorpe has like the spacers, so the skewers. Okay, anyway, no. So... Our actual
listen. I need to be clear. I do not want to see skewers ever.
You literally just said that. Bring on the skewers. Quote Jack Farmer. Print it. Mint it. Make it an NFT. Hi guys, I'm Jack Farmer. Boy, do I love skewers. Our last matchup was actually our first matchup. This one occurring in a steel cage. The Creed brothers. Somehow, who left NXT and decided to come back to NXT to have a match to stay in NXT, get the dub over Schism, Rip Fowler and Jagger Reed. I believe Rip Fowler is the one we used to call Zach Gibson. Let me know in the chat. I always get them confused. It was kind of awkward to watch because there were a lot of times where the Creed brothers were in dominating fashion, even though Julius worked the match basically by himself for a lot of swath of the matchup, having Ava Rain saying, get up, you're weak, get up, get up. But ultimately, it was a power of friendship. Brudai somehow comes back, hulks up, and they get the dub. Three questions I have, Jack. Schism always takes losses. Are they going to be a threat anytime soon? Ava Rain seems to be frustrated. Will they break up the squad? And three, when the Creed Brothers won, a Diamond Mine logo flashed up. Is this still a thing? I am so confused.
So... this has been a story that we've had to see play out multiple times. And I'm just as frustrated as everyone else is. And that is these non-Schism people wearing these yellow masks continue to get involved in Schism business. And they did it here again. And in many ways, I think cost Schism the match with their involvement yet again, because that's what they always do. They're constantly costing Schism the match. I know Brutus was trying to get out of this match. He was trying to not get into the cage with the dyad. And so he even hid in the back. But I think in the back, they eventually said, dude, you got to go out there. Of course, that said, Flobo, the match started without him in the ring, meaning that he shouldn't have been involved in this one in the first place. So there's a lot of stuff that happened here. Clearly, the cage wasn't built properly because the door came right off the hinges. Lots of problems with the way this was set up. And let's not even get into the fact that this was a match that was set up under duress. I mean, this should have taken place in the first place. The fact that they humored the Creed brothers with this is just ridiculous. It's unfortunate that so much stuff is happening to Schism that should be stopped. I'll tell you this right now.
Tell me this.
As a wrestling fan, I love Shawn Michaels. But William Regal, when he was in charge, would have let this slide.
No. You don't. Long-term booking. Jack hated William Regal when he was the interim manager. Oh, fire Regal. He's totally slacking off. But you know what? I will say the quality of our steel cages have taken a dive. So maybe you're hard at something there. But you can't just say, hey, the bell rang. He wasn't there. He's no longer allowed to compete. That's not how that works. He was on the poster.
Anyone is just allowed to get into the ring and be a part of the cage match?
No. He was sanctioned. It was the Creed brothers. Both of them can participate in this matchup.
You don't start the match until all competitors are in the ring. That's like rule number one.
So you're trying to tell me this match doesn't count?
It doesn't count. Shouldn't count. I mean, it probably will, because I think Shawn Michaels, again, can't run the company the way William Regal did. And so it'll probably stand, even though Diamond Mine should be gone and done.
Is it Diamond Mine? Over. I don't know. Is it? I don't know. They were done. They were to forget. They were forever. Roddy left. Tatum Paxley was cut. And he didn't do it anymore. Like, what's going on with that?
It's just, it's such a toxic group when you think about it, right? Like, they're constantly showing how people shouldn't be involved in their group, or like, hey, you can be a part of our group, you're cut. They're jerks, they're bullies, they think they're the cool kids, unlike Schism, who's welcoming and let people join them and let them grow together. It's really a tale of good guys in Schism versus bad guys in Diamond Mine.
I just hate the spin. Papa Zorch, that shouldn't count. Papa Zorch, missed you in Tampa this weekend. We got to do it again next year. Hope he's staying safe with the hurricane threat. And Keenan says, Julius Creed is a future IC champion and world champion. Brutus, Brudai, is a future U.S. champion and undisputed champion. As for why Booker calls him Brudai, I don't know, but I pop every time.
He calls him Brudai, and Vic Joseph doesn't correct that, but he will correct Oro Mensah, even though I don't understand what Booker's getting wrong.
Look, Vic Joseph, if you ever watched this show, I need to know, is it a gimmick or is Booker really getting on your nerves? I need to know if you're like, oh, we're professionals and fire best buddies, or it's like me and Jack when I want to, like, you know, stab him with a fork after a show. I need to know. Yeah.
Violent tendencies of Flobo voice. Totally. You're a Diamond Mine fan, I'd imagine.
I like the concept, but between Damon Kemp and Roderick Strong and Tatum Paxley, logos, no logos, I don't know if it exists. But you know what I'm not sure it doesn't exist? Is the Hurt Business, but the Street Profits are on a world tour, apparently, heading down to sunny Orlando to hang out with Carmelo Hayes. What's going on with this? You think they're going to have themselves a multi-promotion, multi-brand faction in the wings?
I mean, I would love to see it. I think that if we're talking about the idea of Bobby Lashley, the Street Profits, Carmelo Hayes, and Trick Williams all in a group, that prints money to me. Absolutely. Let's put them together. That's going to run roughshod over everybody. So, yes, I would absolutely love to see that. Do I think it's going to happen? I don't know.
Wow.
I don't think so.
Cedric Alexander, I think the chat. Shelton Benjamin is up the chat as well. You just hating.
Yeah, it's I just don't think it's going to happen. I don't think I think if it was to happen, it'd happen by now.
Right.
And I think we can fantasy book it. I think we can all, I like the idea. I think we can add them as a stable in our WWE 2K23 universe mode. Get your copy today. That's a sponsored segment. No, it's not sponsored.
They're not paying us. What are you doing? You're just giving away free advertising to both of our listeners.
That means every sale they make after this is 100% based on that free shout out. Guys, you should sponsor us.
That is the most LinkedIn thing ever. Help drive sales of WWE games with interactive content. Yeah, whatever. We didn't do anything. one thing won't happen is Carmelo Hayes is actually going through some stuff. You know, we went to Trick Williams this week and was like, hey, you think you could beat Dragunov? It's really the first time we've seen doubt with him.
Yeah, this is worrisome as a Carmelo Hayes fan. This is troubling. Carmelo Hayes is the future of pro wrestling. He's the top of the food chain on NXT. And the only way you can remain the top of the food chain in a place that is as embattled as NXT is you got to believe in yourself. If you have second thoughts, if you have doubts in yourself, you're going to get eaten alive. And this is the first time we've seen him ever have a doubt. And that worries me, Flobo. It worries me that he doesn't believe in himself. And this is the most concerned I've been for Carmelo Hayes since he debuted, since he won that breakout tournament that they should bring back.
Fair enough. To me, I had a moment there with Trick Williams, one, hyping himself up for the Whoop That Trick chat from Memphis this week, but definitely doing the feels of, I don't think you can beat Dragunov. I know you can. I'm like, I want homies like that. I want homies that can to cut a promo on my behalf and hype me up when I'm not in the room. I don't know. I thought it was pretty cool. But the conflict there, granted, didn't really devolve into more than just kind of like a misunderstanding. How do you like this? Having two individuals is on different sides. They were friends, had a bit of a discussion, a little bit of tension, but nothing really came of it. It wasn't a challenge. It wasn't like an argument between these two.
I mean, that's how friendships work, right?
Like, I don't know. I don't have
friendships aren't always like, hey, we're good friends, everything's working. You have disagreements, you have arguments, you have discussions and things like that. That's what good friends are. The bad friends are the ones that don't tell you you have something stuck in your teeth.
Wow, let's call me out. Cedric Welton says, Hayes been putting over Ilya in promos for a long time. So I actually, you're right. And I think this is almost too gradual, too smart from NXT from my perspective. And I'm not disagreeing with the storytelling here, but when we have what we call the Charlotte promo, the I'm going to lift you up and then say I'm just better, it a lot of the nuance can get lost of him being like, no, I think you're really good. Like, I think you're really good. And then if I went back almost in that scene from Memento, you're right. Carmella's really treated Ilya differently, but it didn't really hit home to me until, you know, Carmella's walking around like, hey, do you think I can beat this guy? I was like, huh, interesting.
Yeah. I mean, Dragunov and to Dragunov's credit, he's someone you should be worried about. I mean, let's take everything and put it to the side and just go back to the very beginning. I mean, he dethroned Walter as the NXT UK champion. I mean, he ended one of the most dominant reigns in modern wrestling.
Right.
By the way, one of the ones that is possibly knocking that dominance down the list is the other Gunther reign that he's on right now. So
absolutely.
It shows just how dominant that champion was. Dragunov was able to end that. So if you are a dominant champion like a Carmelo Hayes, and you look at the guy who has figured out how to end dominant reigns, it is worrisome. But again, you've got to believe in yourself. If you don't believe in yourself, then you've already lost.
A motivational start from Jack Farmer here. Hayes may drop into Bakersfield and Bobby will be there to bring back him. Yeah, that's good. I'll love to see that, Cedric, as well. On the other side of getting back your mojo, Angel and Humberto, I guess they're not using their last names this time, had another experience waking up in blood, which sounds like it's like offensive, but it was like cartoon blood. You're fine. Anyway, if we're going to honor Grandpa's legacy, Angel said, I have his fire, you have his heart. Next week, you're getting the debuts. You and I both know debuting at NXT can have mixed results. Look at Lucian Price and Bronco Nima, but I feel a little different about this time around about Angel and Humberto.
I hope that they're able to get on track here because it's two guys who are absolute stars. I've been an Angel fan since day one. I think he just has it. And Humberto Carrillo is a former number four draft pick in the draft. So
no one's going to get that reference anymore.
We know that this is something that needs to, like, these guys have it. I will say I'm a little worried, though. I'm hesitant. As you said, there's a lot of, it could be a mixed bag when people re-debut or debut in NXT because the competition's so tough in NXT.
Right.
You're telling me, for the past number of weeks here, I can't remember, 3-4 weeks, that, hey, we need to be serious. We need to get back to winning. We need to be back to being professional wrestlers. Then where have you been? Like, if you're here to wrestle, why are you sleeping in all day? Every time I check in on you guys, you're sleeping on the couch. Like, yeah, there's a lot of us that sit on the couch like, yeah, I need to go to the gym soon.
And then, right?
Like, go wrestle. I mean, it'll happen next week. But like, to me, I'm saying you're trying to honor your dad. It's about uncle, or I can't remember the exact relationship.
The grandfather, the Kirk Cousins.
Grandfather. It's about time.
Hold on, Jack. Look, unlike most of us here in entertainment, we don't get booked every day. So there's some days you wake up and you don't have a booking. So what am I supposed to do? Go to the gym? Hang out? Go to a library? I'm sleeping in. Recharging.
That's why you're not Carmelo Hayes. That's why you're not the guy on the top of the
I am net. Not him. I am who? I'm nowhere near Carmelo Hayes. I will the first one to admit that. I am taking the path of least resistance.
I am whom?
That's fair. That's totally fair. Speaking about people not caring about the people, Baron Corbin doesn't care about Von Breaker or Van Wagner. One of my favorite segments of the night because Braun was like, hey, don't get involved. And Baron Corbin's like, I don't really care about you. I don't really like you at all. Jack Farmer, as someone who doesn't like anyone, what do you think about this one?
this was, you know, it's so funny when I was thinking about Wagner versus Braun. I was like, this is perfect pro wrestling. This is what you want to see. Two guys who have no quit, no stop in them, who are both muscle bound dudes who love to beat the crap out of people. This is a slapper. This is one that we want to see. I don't like the strategy here of Braun Breaker. I think he's distracted. And I think that the fact that he's trying to sort of win the attention of Baron Corbin is troubling. I think the fact that he keeps going up to Baron Corbin and wanting Baron Corbin to notice him, to me, right, much like Carmelo Hayes, it tells me you're distracted, Braun. It tells me that your head isn't in the game where it should be. I think any day of the week, Braun Breaker could beat anybody. But right now, if he's trying to have a match with Wagner, who's very dangerous, but he's thinking about Baron Corbin, he's setting himself up for failure.
I can tell you why he's distracted, because Von Wagner had the most suggestive promo I've heard in a while. Come Tuesday, you're going to get tabled. It sounds so kind of weird. I'm like, what the hell are you talking about, Von? It sounds odd. But that said, I'm down for the match. I love the Haas match aspect of it all. On the other side, let's talk about Ilya Dragunov, man. He was in the ring. He had a few words, but Noam Dar gets involved. And of course, Noam Dar is a total coward, so he sent out Ora Mensa. And between Trick Williams, Carmelo Hayes, and Ora Mensa, why does Dragunov hate brothers? Jack, can you explain? No, I'm just kidding. My real question is, Dragunov seems to be on a warpath. Is it only a matter of time before he becomes the NXT champion?
I've said Dragunov for years, go back to NXT UK, lets his emotions get the better of him far too often. They can be a great asset to him, but he lets them get him into trouble so often that it causes more problems than I think it helps. And look, he's out there cutting a promo, and Noam Dar thankfully says, let's spice this up. Let's add some fun to it. Let's make it more intriguing. And so he pops in all the way from the moon and decides to add some fun to this
promo.
Forgot
the moon reference. I was like, what are you talking about? Okay.
And metaphor, they're having fun when suddenly Dragunov gets physical. Suddenly Dragunov is attacking people. Now, look, I know that maybe there were some things that Dragunov thought were being said that he took personally, but the thing in pro wrestling is just because someone says something doesn't mean you have the right to physically attack them. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, this, that's not what this is about. Like, Dragunov, again, letting everything get under his skin and just running around attacking him. I can't take him as a credible threat if he can't even stay focused on what he's trying to do.
You got to understand that wrestling is one of the few times where, yes, when someone talks smack about you, you are supposed to beat them up. Like, right? Like,
not if you're a number one contender, not if you're trying to be the champ. Everyone's going to try to claw at you to try to get a win over you to take your spot as the number one contender. You gotta stop thinking about those people. You think Roman Reigns is getting upset when Cody Rhodes says something about being the champion again on Raw? Do you think when Seth Rollins is like, I'm the real champion here in WWE, do you think Roman Reigns is like, oh man, she's talking about me. What am I going to do? No, he doesn't care.
Yeah, he does. That's what he hit the music.
He doesn't come out. In fact, most of the time, if something does need to be said, Roman Reigns doesn't even come out. Yeah, I don't care.
Wow. Okay, wow.
I don't do that.
You would no one to come out to answer to anyone talking smack on the microphone.
I don't think, look, I get where Ora Mensa's coming from. Smart. He's instantly putting himself in the conversation with a number one contender. What I'm saying is, if you are the number one contender, let everyone else chatter. Let them do their thing. You've got to move on up. If this was the UFC, if this was boxing, if this was the Super Bowl, the people who aren't in the conversation are always going to try to get into the ears of the people who are in the conversation.
Wow.
But you got to ignore them.
Speaking about things that are being ignored, looks like Thea Hale is still ignoring Andre Chase, and JC Jane is now taking Thea Hale out. Like, I don't understand why Thea is so impressionable, one. And this right here, this conflict between Thea and Andre, seems like it's in suspended animation. I thought by now they should have dropped an elbow or something. What's going on?
How much is Thea Hale paying for tuition?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Because here's the thing. I know she's young and maybe hasn't been going to a university very long, but you're paying for those classes. You can skip anytime you want. You don't need to get your teacher's permission. You're paying for that service. So if he can't, if Chase can't keep your attention, then yeah, get out of there. The truth is, Flobo, we all know you learn more in real life than you do in the classroom anyways. And I think that Thea Hale is going to learn so much more hanging out with a good influence like JC Jane than she would sitting in a classroom thinking about numbers and whatnot any day of the week. And the fact that, look, the prize student, the MVP student, Duke Hudson, doesn't even know the rules of the tournament he's in. How good of a class can Chase be teaching?
With all due respect to JC Jane, right? If I'm Thea Hale and the world champion Rhea Ripley was here last week, why would I hang out with JC Jane? The world champion is doing that bigger and better. No?
Here's the thing. JC Jane is cool. If you've been in school and you've been a nerd and you've been the person that's been getting straight A's and working hard and you're the nerd and you get the chance to hang out with the cool person, sit at the cool kids table,
Lord,
you take it. Have you seen any high school movie, Flobo? You got the opportunity. You grow the sideburns and you play on the football team. That's what you do. You join the cool kids.
My football career lasted exactly 10 days, so I am the worst person to ask about this. I played nose guard, hate it, was boring. I wanted to be a running back, but I was 5'9", 375. Okay,
it's pretty surprising that it took him that long to cut you.
Yeah, you know what? I was a fridge. They're like, well, if he doesn't really move a lot, but you have to get around him. But then, anyway, our North American title division is pretty much heating up. Dragon Lee still wants a chance at that North American title, but Ali disagrees as well. Ali is on a campaign to be the new North American champion. But does Dragon Lee present a threat to Ali? That was a hard thing to say.
Of course he does. Dragon Lee's incredible. Of course he's a threat. Mm-hmm. But I think Ali's right. Dragon Lee had his turn. He lost it. Let's get some new blood in there. Ali has deserved a shot for months, and he's been trying to get it for months, and he's been earning it for months. But there's always something that continually costs him that opportunity. It's time. William Regal, do something about this. Give Ali a shot.
William Regal. He's like, I'm indisposed right now.
But I will say, I do got to give credit. Like, I don't trust Dom as the special guest referee in this matchup.
You don't?
I don't trust this situation at all, but I got to give him a tip of the cap. I mean, what a great maneuver here by Dom. This is why he's the champ in the first place. See, everyone else, Flobo, we're talking about getting distracted, whether it be Braun Breaker trying to bring in Baron Corbin, Dragunov getting caught up with Oro Mensa. Dom is the champ because he gets it. He sees who the people are who are legitimate threats to his title, and he's already working to take them out and damage them. This is brilliant. Dom is the champ for a reason. This is the mindset you need to have.
I will not stand by here idly and have you support Dominic Mysterio. Patooey. But we have to wrap this up. As reported by NXT Anonymous, it looks like former or concurrent student Miles Bourne has been propositioned to join Briggs and Jensen against the school with no name, Charlie Dempsey, Drew Gulak, and Damon Kemp.
You know, Flobo, don't women just ruin everything?
I do not want to agree. they're great.
I mean, outside
of... cancel me.
Outside of, I mean, how many times in history has there been a group of guys that are getting along, things are good, and then a female strolls up and says, hey, you should stab all your friends in the back. And it ruins everything. She's the Yoko Ono of this situation, Flobo. She's going in there and she's breaking up the band.
A down-home Yoko Ono. I like country music. It's kind of an image.
That does sound like a country song, doesn't it?
But yeah, I mean, it is kind of a weird choice. If Family Henley looking for the psychological advantage, will that be enough for them to get the eventual dub?
I'm sorry, what was the question?
Get recruiting Miles Bourne, Drew Gulak's student, quote unquote. Will that be enough to give Briggs and Jensen the advantage that you think they need to win the match?
Will the person that give me an example of a team, whether it be wrestling, whether it be football, basketball, where taking someone off of someone else's bench made them better than the team whose bench got pillaged?
Oh, man, is this like a John Wall question? I don't know.
Look, he's a bench player. They're not going to get the win. I mean, good on him. He's learning. He's getting there. I think he's losing a great opportunity to become even better. But I mean, he's going to get schooled by the guys who've been having him pick up trash.
Do you not acknowledge a sixth man award at all? Like in basketball? You just.
Nope.
All right. Well, this does it for this edition of Draped in Gold, your one-stop shop for NXT content. Available every Wednesday afternoon on the East Coast, every morning on the West Coast. We had a bit of tragic news this week in the wrestling world. We lost both Terry Funk and Wyndham Rotunda, aka Bray Wyatt. And it was kind of interesting and nice to see that all three shows this week in the WWE sphere, and of course, AEW All In, paid tribute to one or both these men.
Yeah, I agree. I like that they did it on every show. I think because I think the truth is people don't watch every show anymore. I think wrestling's gotten that big where you have people who maybe only tune into NXT or only tune into SmackDown or Raw or AEW. And so I think it's great that all these different brands came together to pay tribute to a person that clearly meant a lot to a lot of people. And something I say to everyone, if you haven't watched any other after shows with me on them, is if the passing of these people have made you very, very sad and you're asking yourself, should I feel this sad about a person I've never met before? I always say wrestling is a little different because we let these characters into our lives every single week and we cheer for them. We grow with them. We feel their heartbreak. And so when they're gone, losing them, it should hurt. And so don't feel bad if it hurts.
Absolutely. Before we get hit the road, Jack, here's your time to tell me your MVP of NXT this week.
My MVP of NXT this week, I think, has to be. I didn't think about it. Well, I guess Kiana James. It's got to be Kiana James. She's getting a title shot. I don't know how you spin it any other way.
Absolutely. I mean, that'd be my choice in the women's division. I picked a Butch just because I'm a big Butch fan, and I got a lot of Pete Dunne-isms or Peter Dunne-isms this week. That's a proposal. But yeah, Kiana James came from seemingly nowhere, even though your boy has been a fan since day one. I'm so glad she dropped all those weird suffixes. Yeah, exactly. Trey Lance saga pending. Well, maybe. That's the bench player pickup. Okay, Jack Varma, if someone wants to connect with you online, book you for an event, if you can find a free day because you work all the time, how to go about doing that?
You can go to @RealJackFarmer across all social media and keep up with what I'm working on. You can also check out Wrestling Inc., where I've been covering most of their shows for the past couple weeks. So a lot of stuff there, but also right here on Draped in Gold every single Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific time.
He is who. And of course, RapedInGold.com is the website, @LoboBoys on that Twitter. We'll be back here next week to talk about more reasons why Jack Farmer is wrong. But until next time, good friend, please say the words.
Do your best and be yourself.